FSN Radio.
It's all about what's next.
Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 6/16/20. You might notice a little different in the recording. We're using a Zoom audio meeting, John and I, and let us know what you think of the sound quality. We might switch to it. There's some advantages to Zoom. There's some disadvantages compared to Skype. In Zoom, you cannot make an outgoing call. You must click on a link, and then hopefully all of your guests have clicked on the link, and then you have them all together. So we're going to see about that. But generally, right now, I'm hearing much better sound quality, and that's a good thing. And well, we might be having better sound quality. The quality of discourse in the country is going down. The Great Reset, is it on the horizon? Have we gotten to the point where the dollar is so unsustainable? Not because it's going down in value, but because it's probably going to go up and the euro, maybe it's going to cease to exist. I'd like to know what you think about that. Why don't you send us an email to kl@kerrylutz.com, kl@kerrylutz.com. About 100 emails behind, but I will get to yours, I promise. Well, John, happy Monday. So is it time for the Great Reset?
Hey, Kerry. Well, so yesterday, speaking of the Great Reset, somebody sends me a video that has that in the title. And, I click on it just out of curiosity because we know we're coming to a monetary reset, right? Like that's totally baked in the cake. So, I have a soft spot for the word reset. and so I click on the video and watch a little bit of it. And it's about the World Economic Forum, which meets in Davos every year. You know, you hear the name Davos, and that's basically why you hear it, because these guys, lots of extremely rich, powerful people show up in Davos and they have a meeting and they talk about what they want to see in the economy in the year ahead and what they're seeing now and all that. But they have this initiative called the Great Reset that, the video that I was watching made out to be kind of they're using the pandemic as a way to restructure the global economy. In other words, one of those maybe conspiracy theory things, or maybe not, but I'm kind of jaded now after all these years of all these conspiracy theories. So I was thinking about just kind of blowing it off, but then the video was pretty good quality and it had a lot of views and a lot of comments and everything. So I decided to look into it further. And yeah, it's a real thing. they really do have this thing called the Great Reset, and they are, using the pandemic as the jumping off point for it. In other words, okay, this showed us how fragile we are, so we really need to get to this right now. So I think we're going to be hearing more about this, and more details are going to be coming out over time. So this is just kind of a heads up that this is now a thing, probably. And the details of the thing are not completely clear yet. In other words, what governments are going to do about it, and are they going to do it through individual government action or through some kind of supranational agency, or if anything gets done at all. But it's something that we'll be hearing about. So we should be probably paying attention and learning some of the details so we can have opinions about it. But yesterday was the first time I'd heard of it. And then I posted something on my website and got a lot of emails from people saying, yeah, you hadn't heard about that yet. Oh, man, that's been, So I guess it's been around for a while, but it's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah. Will there be a world government? James Sinclair has said for years that that's what they were working on. Well, and then you have centralized government for the whole world. And then you have what's happening in Seattle, in your state there. You got this thing called CHAZ or CHOP, the Capitol Hill, Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, where everybody's equal. It kind of reminds me of that Orwell book, Animal Farm. That's what we got devolving in Seattle now.
Well, it's kind of Occupy Wall Street, next iteration. And hopefully it's as benign as that, and it kind of fades, and I just want normal life to come back. There's lots of things that need to be fixed,
yes.
Definitely. But let's do it in the context of no more lockdowns and us being able to go places and do things again. Because my health club finally opened up.
Hallelujah.
Actually, I'm sorry. I'm shouldn't be complaining when it's so much harder for other people, but I've been lifting weights with two
first world problems here, John.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. White people problems. Yeah. But it's so nice to be able to go out and do an actual workout again. So please don't reimpose the lockdown. You know, no matter what happens in Seattle, the rest of the state, just let us get back to normal life. And it looks like, at least according to stuff coming out of the White House, that we've got maybe one more big coronavirus relief package coming. Trump is talking trillion plus, I read. And it's not sure clear what the details will be, but hopefully it doesn't include the Democrats' proposal to bail out the lobbying organization for the lobbyists. You know, that would be peak crazy. Yeah.
That's only right. Well, what government does, the way they work things, and they're in it for themselves. Never forget that. No matter what happens, the government is always in it. First and foremost, to see that the government survives, like any other organism, right? Its first purpose of business is to make sure that it survives. It doesn't care about the environment. It doesn't care about it, anyone else, just it. And somehow government will find a way.
Well, these bailouts are actually kind of unfair for legislators, right? Because it's taken advantage of them because, you know, you say, oh, we've got $1 trillion we can spend. How do you want to spend it? Now, you know, that's like those experiments where they used to put candy in front of kids to test their emotional maturity. Like how long can you go without eating that candy? And, you know, we found out that congressmen and senators can't go very long at all. You know, they immediately call their favorite lobbyists and say, hey, how much will you contribute to my campaign if I get you $10 million from this thing? You know, and so you end up with these bills that are just jam-packed with special interests. Pork, you know, and what did we expect, you know, that these guys would actually have self-control and come in with clean bills that did specific things for specific people. And that's all, you know, there's nothing like that is possible. And so the next one will be the same way. And, you know, politically for Trump, this would have been such a great opportunity where he could say, you know, we've got to do a bailout because this is a epic crisis, but let's just do one specific thing per day. All right. Don't send me these big loaded down with pork bills. You guys just, we'll find out, you know, we'll figure out one thing that we need to do that's highest priority and we'll do it. And then tomorrow we'll do the next thing. And he would have looked like a CEO who was managing his organization in a way to get good results. And instead he just let it, he let the pigs, you know, race for the trough.
And so
it's a shame. It was a missed opportunity. And who knows what's in this next bill, but hopefully it is stuff that helps the people who really need it. You know, these guys who've been under house arrest in urban apartments with their whole family as the weather gets hot, you know, they're the ones who need the help. So because, you know, people in small towns, this basically just passed them by except for the lockdown, you know, not that many people got sick in farm towns in the Midwest or anything.
In Alaska, hardly anybody did. And they shut down Alaska, go figure. The whole concept of the shutdown, whether or not it made any sense whatsoever, whether it was advisable, and what it accomplished, you know, all of that is really up in the air. We have no idea. We do believe you and I have our thoughts about it, but really put 40 million people out of work. What is the cost of that and trillions of dollars? And, you know, it would make sense that the reset people would glom onto something like this. to really make it the pretext for the reset, right?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
To all you FSN community members out there, I want to share with you a program that I just signed up for and love, and I believe it has tremendous upside potential, and that is the Forex Smart Trade Currency Trading Program. Forex Smart Trade teaches currency trading using their proprietary indicators. These indicators are easy to read and tremendously accurate, almost 90% accurate. Yes, I know that sounds too good to be true. Well, you don't have to take their word for it. Forex Smart Trade is offering a promotion right now to my listeners whereby you can try their training and proprietary indicators for just $10 for 30 days. That's right, only $10 for their 30-day introductory trial where you'll have access to live trade webinars and one-on-one personal instruction. It's a terrific value. The currency market hasn't taken the beating that the stock market has, so you need to learn about it and try it. Go to www.forexsmarttrade.com/Lutz and schedule yourself to get set up. Again, that's www.forexsmarttrade.com/Lutz. I promise you it will be the best $10 you've spent so far this year. www.forexsmarttrade.com/Lutz.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Yeah. Well, that is, a basic principle of government is not to let a crisis go to waste. You know, you wait till everybody's freaked out and then you go in hard with this thing you've been wanting for a long time and you haven't been able to get. So stuff will happen that wouldn't have been able to be done otherwise. But, and very little of this is funny, right? Mostly it's human suffering and we shouldn't joke around about it. But there is at least one thing that is kind of funny that we could talk about, which is millennial stock traders. Because basically, here's what happened in the lockdown. A lot of young people who grew up playing video games and everything discovered that there are these free stock trading apps. One of them is Robinhood,
I guess there are others. Yes.
Yeah. And so they found out that, you give Robinhood a little bit of money and you can trade, you can day trade. And it's like a video game because there's no commissions or anything. Yeah. And so millions of new stock brokerage accounts have been opened during the pandemic.
Yes. With the stimulus money and
They take their stimulus money and put it in Robinhood and they're trading. A lot of them, because these are new accounts opened by people who have never had a brokerage account before, of course they're going to do things that new people do when they're just learning how to do stuff. So they're trading like crazy. And a lot of them are beating hedge funds, which is driving Wall Street crazy, because they're basically, the kids are trend following, and trend following tends to win in the short run. And so they're outperforming these, 49-year-old Harvard educated, Harvard MBA guys with, billions of dollars under management. And so that's making Wall Street kind of mad. But one other thing they're doing is buying stocks because of name recognition without any sense of how the underlying company is doing. And so Hertz is the big example. The car rental company went bankrupt, not surprisingly, when everybody stopped renting cars and going places. But the day traders, the millennial Robin Hood day traders, bid the stock way up. So when a company's bankrupt, almost by definition, their stock is worthless, because going bankrupt means you don't have enough money to pay off your creditors.
And the creditors are going to wind up owning the company.
Yeah.
That's the way it works with publicly traded companies. So the equity in the company gets wiped out.
Yeah. So, but it still exists and the day traders are trading it up. So now it has value. So Hertz is like, well, what if we do a stock offering?
And they're doing it. I mean,
they're finding out about it. I guess they're trying to get the regulators to let them do it. And apparently there's no law against it. You can sell stock to people while you're bankrupt, apparently. Yeah. And they did the disclosure. In the disclosure, it says the stock is worthless. You will probably lose everything. But
that's what
here it is
anyway.
If you want to buy it.
They all say that. Any private placement memo for a mining company, they all say stock is almost certainly going to become worthless. The company will go out of business. And this is a horrible investment. But if you want to do it, Godspeed.
Yeah. Well, but at least usually there's a going concern that's issuing the stock, where the stock may have some value because it's a going concern. And then, you know, if they succeed at what they're doing, it's going to be very valuable. So in Hertz's case, that stock can't be worth anything because the money they take in by issuing the stock will just go to their creditors. It will go to pay their bondholders instantly because the bondholders have first dibs on any cash that comes into the company. You know, this might happen. And if it does happen, that's another one of those peak crazy things. You know, we're going to look back and go, okay, when that happened, we should have known we were at the end of the cycle. And then when that happened, and this is going to be one of those things. But it's funny. See, this is something we can laugh about in all of the not funny stuff that's going on.
Yes, no, I totally agree with you. Well, Hertz, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's still, I'm going to look at the financial statements, but I think it's still a profitable company. They just took on too much debt. Do I have that right? So effectively, if they can shed the debt, they could become profitable again. That is, if anybody ever rents a car again, if we ever start traveling, all of these great things, right?
Well, actually, one of my first finance jobs was doing workouts during the junk bond bust back way back when. And yeah, if you get rid of all of a company's debt somehow, then whatever they're bringing in might be enough to turn a profit. But in the process of getting rid of the debt involves negotiations with the guys that you owe money to. And they're not going to let you keep much. You know, they want every penny that they can get to put against what they lent you. So there's very little chance that a bankrupt company's stock ends up being valuable because then the bondholders would say, hey, I want that money and I'm legally entitled to it. You know, give it to me. And they can do that. So it's hard to see how anybody buying Hertz stock now makes anything. But a lot of the guys who are buying it are day traders who aren't really trying to ride it to, you know, a five-year horizon where it goes up by 70. No. They're trying to make a quarter of a point because there's no transaction cost. So you can trade something and make a little tiny fraction of the price and then in 15 minutes, and then you do it again and again and again. And, you know, day trading is during market bubbles, you know, when stocks are really going up, day trading gets popular because of that, because you've got the wind at your back. Things are tending to go up. So you buy them, sell them for a quarter point more, buy something else, sell that for a quarter point more. And if everything is going up, more often than not, you're right. You know, you lose less than you gain. And so you can make a living doing day trading. So that's yet another indicator of a cyclical peak when day trading gets really popular. It's kind of like house flipping, right?
Yeah.
You know, you need the overall market to be going in the right direction for that strategy to work. And, you know, I don't know whether this is just a really, really Robin Hood specific thing that's going on now, or if day trading is getting big across the board. I don't know that, but it's certainly big in that one little segment of the market where everybody's trading on these free apps.
Yeah. This is total madness here. Let's face it. When you're in the car business, you got to rent cars. You've got to put butts in seats. That's the whole point of it. And when you can't do that, you're quickly going to go bankrupt. I just wonder how the other ones are doing. A lot of them are owned by hedge funds, I think. So they're definitely cash flow negative. There's a vehicle utilization rate. And last year, they were at 74%. This year, they're at 66%, and that's only gone down. And like we said, the whole point of these bankruptcies is, well, right now they're a debtor in possession, but a lot of this is secured debt. So they can just take all the cars and sell them. Now, the good thing is because Hertz has no other debt, all their debt will be wiped out. They have all this debt capacity. And that's when you get the debtor in possession financing thing that goes on where GE Capital or somebody, if they're even still around, but some bank will loan them $1 billion because you get a preference for that. If the company liquidates, they have to get paid off first, the debtor in possession, the administrative costs, and of course the lawyers. So none of these newbies know anything about this. And It will be a Hertz, but it'll probably be merged with another car company in the end, which is too bad. Like, I always liked Hertz. I thought they were a little overpriced, but their service was by far the best. So, you know,
That is true. Hertz tries to rip you off less than most other rental car companies. You know, if you go to one of the cheap ones, they're like, okay, well, you need this insurance and there's this extra surcharge. And you know, I know we said we'd give you a midsize car, but we're actually going to give you a sub compact car. Don't worry. Yeah, it'll drive on the freeway. Don't worry. But and Hertz was never like that. They're like, yeah, you get, this is the car that we said we'd had for you. And this is how much we said it would cost. And have a nice trip, you know. Yeah. So they don't deserve to die, really. Their business model should survive. Yeah.
It's a great brand. They have the number one club. You just make your reservation and then you don't have to stop at the counter. You just go pick up your car and then they check you out at the gate and you save like a half hour of nonsense that you have to spend with the other ones. But, you know, like, cars are expensive. Their interest expense is just on vehicles, $118 million, non-vehicle, $57 million. So now we get rid of all that, and maybe they'll be leasing Teslas out before you know it, huh?
Right? Well, somebody will be renting cars eventually. You know, I hope that the people who designed Hertz's business model don't suffer too much, just because it was a customer-friendly company.
And it worked for years.
We need more of those, yeah.
It worked for years. Their service really was superior to anyone else's out there. And, you know, overall, just a better way.
You know what else is part of the story too? As you mentioned, there's a lot of financial stuff going on with these companies where private equity is doing this and the hedge funds are doing that. And, you know, when all the dust clears, if the private equity guys and the hedge funds and the big banks end up making money on all of this stuff, then that just solidifies the whole inequality thing. And it just makes the case for antitrust laws being reimposed on these guys. And if we bail out the private equity companies and the hedge funds, which we kind of sort of are doing already by buying junk bonds through the Fed, you know, a lot of these guys with these CLOs, collateralized loan obligations, or leveraged loans, basically is what it is, where you lend money to a highly leveraged company that is a junk bond borrower, you know, is not all that likely to pay you back. And then you bundle all those loans into financial instruments, into bonds, and then you sell those bonds to unsuspecting pension funds and commercial or retail bond funds and things like that. You know, it's a high risk thing that in a recession would be expected to blow up. But there's a decent chance that they survive because we've got the Fed buying junk bonds now.
Yes.
And that's kind of a crime too. That's a crime against capitalism, actually, because you need stupid stuff to blow up on you so you know what not to do. And excessive creation of collateralized loan obligations is one of those things that has to blow up at the cyclical peak, because it's usually taken too far by people who assume the good times are going to roll forever. Uh-huh. And so we kind of need these things to fail. And if we're not going to let them fail, and we're going to further enrich the guys who bet on them too aggressively, then that might be one of the big crimes of this whole thing. Because first of all, it's not right that those guys should be making money when everybody else is losing money. And second of all, it sends the wrong signal to the markets. You know, it screws up the price signaling mechanism of the financial markets and leads to malinvestment, which leads to an even bigger crisis later. So, you know, I don't know for sure whether we're going to end up bailing out private equity, but we could easily do that.
Why not? Why shouldn't they get a bailout, right?
Why should these guys in their mansions in Connecticut who make $1 billion a year not get a bailout from taxpayers? Yeah.
It's only fair.
But so, it's our world right now. See, hopefully everybody's paying attention. And then, you know, when the Great Reset comes, it actually takes the form of a pro-capitalist Great Reset, where we break up the monopolies and scale back the concentrations of power, and then let free individuals manage their own property as they see fit, you know, in a competitive market. And I don't have a lot of hope that that's the way it goes immediately, but that would be a nice way for this to end up if we actually see clearly what's happening.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're going to find out soon enough. Anyways, go take a look at John's site, dollarcollapse.com, our site, Financial Survival Network. Write us, kl@carrylutz.com, kl@carrylutz.com. John, we will catch up with you next week.
All right, Carrie, see ya.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.